Startups move fast, and with AI, they're shipping even faster and attracting enterprise buyers sooner. But big deals bring even bigger security and compliance requirements. A SOC 2 isn't always enough. The right kind of security can make a deal or break it. Vanta knows what's needed and when, and they've built the fastest, easiest path to get you there. That's why serious startups get secure early with Vanta. Get $1,000 off at vanta.com/wandery. That's VANTA.com/wandery. Don't just fill a position. Find the ideal candidate who'll drive your business forward. For qualified candidates who match your needs, try Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time. More results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a £100 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/WanderyUK. Just go to Indeed.com/WanderyUK right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WanderyUK. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hello, Benoons.
Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Good. It's Vanderpump Rules Day, so we're very excited. Monday will be our last Amazon Live. Join us at 4 p.m. Pacific time on Amazon Live. You can find that link in our link in bio over on Instagram. So do it. Do it. Yes. This week we had Allison Roman, the famous chef, who I call Angela for some reason. We're just so close. I just started calling her Angela. Angie, for sure. It was really fun talking to her. Join us. You can go listen to that at Crappy Hour this week. And our Christmas movie with the Reality Gaze this year will be a 4-part recap of My Secret Santa on Netflix. So probably save yourself some sanity and don't watch it, but listen to it because it's really fun times. And today, Vanderpump Rules, season 12, episode 3, Crash Out Queens. Whoa.
I've got to say, last week I was like, I think I like the reboot. And this week I'm like, I'm fully committed. I'm like in it. I not only like it, I was like, I'm actually already teetering towards love. I was so entertained by this stupid episode. It was just what I needed. Stupid back and forth about, you said this and then this, and then she texted this. You got like a toxic couple. You've got an angry gay. It's so silly. It's so stupid. And it's like, I'm just surprised that it's only 3 episodes old. I feel like I'm already in it. I'm in the trenches. And I'm not saying this because I went to the Vanderpump Rules thing last week and I met some of them. I'm not influenced by that at all. I'm saying it like I think it's just like it's exactly what I want and need right now. And I think it's doing a great job.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it as well. I'm actually trying to find this article with what's his bun in it, Venus, that he was on Venus. The podcast, and some of the quotes are just so funny. I wanted to read it to you, but I cannot find. Oh, Venus, yes. So he was on So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, Vanderpump Rules server Venus, is the title of the episode. Venus has a talking head look. Okay, he talks about his talking head. They talk about him, why he's working at Sir. He said he did watch Vanderpump Rules, but he's really a fan of Vanderpump. Lisa is my queen. And I finally just grew up here and was like, I'm sending in an application. And I was hired on the spot. And I've been the queen bee of Sir ever since. Okay. It's the first red flag. Then he's talking about how he grew up in a town with small pastures and cows, and he only had a post office and gas station, so he had to get out of there. And he says, so I always knew I was not meant to have this small town farm life. I just have some kids, and that's about it. Like, no way. I was like, I'm a star. I've always known I was a star. I started writing memoirs in the 4th grade.
Memoirs. Multiple memoirs. Multiple versions of his life.
So we've got delusional people who are already completely famous in their own mind. I mean, gotta love it.
And the show has gone back to its most important feature, which is a lazy Susan of awfulness, because I'm like, wow, Marcus and him, I'm like, ugh, they're toxic and awful. They're, of course, they're a couple that drags everyone into their drama. And then the moment that everyone gets dragged in, and then you say something like, fuck her, and they get back together, and it gets back to like her that you say fuck her or whatever it is. And then they kick you out, and it's like, oh God, I hate those toxic couples. But then you got Venus, you're like, ugh, but Venus is awful. And then you're like, well, but Natasha, but then Natasha's awful. Like, it's like you're going back and forth. And that is the most Vanderpumpian quality that you could have. It's just like a lazy Susan of awfulness that revolves around such low stake things that I'm feeling very much at home.
Yeah. And one of the biggest worries was, oh my God, they don't work at the restaurant, blah, blah, blah. You know, people were saying that before, but it looks like they do actually work there. I mean, at least they have to work there. And they're showing a lot of the restaurant stuff, which I really like, you know, just working at the restaurant so much of my life. I really love seeing the pettiness in the restaurant and how everybody's turning against like one person at a time. It's just so fun.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel really as performative as I was afraid it would. I felt like they are genuinely like annoyed at each other and frustrated, and they're like exploding with, you know, fury. So that's why I'm like, this is great. And like, it's just so stupid. I mean, this whole episode is just, you know, like a rock climbing, and Shane Davis is like, yeah, I got shot 3 times. It's like, what? It's like, this is just funny. It's just not that getting shot's funny. It's just the way it's like, yeah, man, I got shot. You're like, I love this.
Like, what? Yeah. So we open up with everyone waking up because it was just Audrey's birthday party. So everybody's hungover. And Audrey's like, whoever planned this surf photo shoot for the day after my birthday is diabolical. I'm going to get revenge on them by not using any moisturizer or hair product. And I'm hungover. I'm sweaty. But you know what? I just go into Sur and there's so many glamorous photos. Do they have flies on them? Yeah. But I mean, it's Sur. So I'm just like, oh my God, am I going to be in the wall at Sur? Am I going to be on the wall at Sur?
She's saying that the photos on the wall at Sur are glamorous is also hilarious. She's like seeing these like archival photos of like Jax and Katie and the whole cast from like 2012. She's like, wow, the golden age of Hollywood. I get to join the pantheon of great wait staff at Sur.
Now we have the famous Sur photo shoot, but this time it's done in the restaurant with the managers there, and nobody's naked or in like kind of sexual, sexually creepy outfits, which is super weird. I'm like, what show is this?
Like, things have changed. Weho now has black plastic bags floating along its streets. Bump is closed, and now we have something called HR. We still don't know what it stands for. But it's very scary.
Whores and rascals. Please report to the Whores and Rascals Department.
So Guillermo's handing out shirts to people, and they're getting the photo shoot set up. And Kim is like, I need my skim so my waist looks snatched. Because the surf photo shoot is legendary.
Yeah, and we see a shot of Natalie holding grapes, and then Audrey's holding a lobster. I'm like, is there a lobster at the menu at Sur? I don't think there is.
Yeah, do they have lobster there? I don't know that I would trust them with lobster, even though that's the cockroach of the sea. Isn't that what they call the lobster?
Ooh, lobsters are not cockroaches of the sea.
Yeah, because they like crawl along the bottom and just eat all the trash and stuff.
What doesn't crawl along? I mean, look, I would say a crab would be more like a cockroach of the sea, but it's not. I think a shrimp would be not the lobster. The lobsters have a whole. I mean, do they pee through their eyeballs? Yes. Is that? But are they the most beautiful little toddler crustaceans out there? Yes. I reject lobster.
Cockroach of the sea is a historical term reflecting how these abundant bottom feeding crustaceans were once considered poverty food for the poor and prisoners in colonial America. Well, that only became a luxury delicacy through railroads, canning, and culinary elevation. So there you go. They have similarities with cockroaches, like hard exoskeletons and scavenging habits, leading to the derogatory nickname. But the term also applies to other abundant marine life, like shrimp.
Thank you.
Like see? You called it. See, you called see? It.
Because there's so many things that crawl along the floor. That's why there's also so many fish that like hide in the sand. and then like eat them, which is hilarious. Those
you
are
know
such,
what?
Those are, like,
yeah. You know what else was called a cockroach of the sea? Whales. Excuse me. That's I'm okay, gonna push back on that one. Come
yeah,
on,
I'm gonna
guys.
Push back. That's like crazy. Who is okay? What AI system are you using that's coming up with? Who's called a whale the cockroach? Whales aren't even fish.
It's just like a tiny little site I'm using called Google. Okay.
Okay. Who has? Okay. All right. Let me. You know who wrote that as a shark? Sharks hate whales. You know that sharks hate whales because sharks are like we're the best, but then whales come along and like sorry we're kind of like bigger. We're like bigger and a little bit scarier. And like some of us don't even eat other fish, but we're still somehow bigger than you. And they're like, fuck this. We're going to call them the cockroach of the sea because they're ruining our space.
I'll tell you who wrote it. Ahab wrote that shit. The cockroach of the sea. My last words.
Dolphins did it to get at the whales. That's crazy. I'm horrified.
Natalie's like, wow, you know what? Like, I just wanted to be in a place where, like, you work where everybody's like, oh my God, so chic, so perfect. Literally, nobody says that about Sir. I don't know where those people think they're working. Does no one on this cast know how to look up a Yelp review? Because I can tell you, not one of them says that.
Yeah. Literally, the words that are associated with Sir are not chic and perfect. The words are like oversized enchiladas and dry.
Please mop this restaurant. I've read that phrase. That was my review. I was like, it smells like bar rot. Please clean this restaurant. Please.
Hello, everyone. I've arrived. I'm in casual magician form today. I'm wearing a blazer, but my shirt is open a few buttons. Whoa, sexy is back.
I remember. Oh, it's so conservative now. I remember what it used to be when we first did it years ago. Nobody had any clothes on.
And we do see pictures of clips from 11 years ago with the staff being naked and holding each other's boobs and stuff. And Peter's wiener flopping around over there.
Yes.
A grayed out wiener, which is weird because it actually looks like that now. Hey, how come we never see Peter? I know the rumor was that he wasn't going to do this anymore because he wasn't getting paid, but was he here?
He was on this episode. Yeah, actually, he did show up.
Mm-hmm. He was like, ho, 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 ho. This is sure different than it used to be, guys.
He didn't
just
say
me,
anything.
Childlike Peter.
He didn't say anything, but he was like helping Natasha or something at the bar. But but now we see that times have changed because Guillermo's like, do you want to remove your shirt? And Lisa goes, I mean, only if you feel comfortable. You definitely will not lose your job if you keep your shirt on. You will just merely work in the back room and not be on television, but only if it makes you comfortable to take off your shirt.
All I care about is the comfortability of children that work for us. Please, please stay clothed.
Girl, you've never hired somebody overweight at that place in your entire life. You only hire people, especially men, who will take off their shirt, okay? Everybody does not walk around with six packs like that, unless they're on your staff. I worked at an Applebee's, and trust, nobody looked like this. No one asked us to take our clothes off. Talk about some bad apples.
If you don't feel comfortable, please put your shirt back on. I don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable at all. But if you want to show your beautiful nipples and six-pack, I won't stop you.
And Chris says, last night was a bad night to eat cake. As he shows off his 8-pack. Shut up.
Yeah, I hate when people do that.
Stop lying. Stop trying to like relate to the people that you ate a cake. You did not eat a cake.
You did not.
I like when hot people are like, do you know how hard it is to be hot? Do you know how traumatizing this is? I don't eat anything. I'm starving. That's what I need to hear from hot people. Like, ate a cake. Yeah. Shut up.
You know, it is necessary to keep evolving. You know, if it's a photo shoot, if it's different staff, I think that's been the secret to our longevity. That's why we keep our menu exactly the same. But now we have a new feature. It's small little bites that happen before the bigger bites. We call them appetizers. Yes, evolution.
We weren't okay to stop with the goat cheese bowl. So 10 years ago, we came up with the goat cheese empanada.
Evolution. Sometimes we think about what's something that we would want on a deserted island, and we call those desserts. Please enjoy.
We weren't happy just to have a tuna. No! So we made it a tuna. Ta-ta! Mm.
So Guillermo's like, when is Kim coming? I want Kim, and I want Kim to sit in the chair. So Kim comes in. And when she walks in, Mark is like, hey, honey, how's it going, honey? She's like, hey, honey, where are you? And everyone's like, what? But they were just fighting for two episodes of this show. Why are they being nice to each other?
And Natalie's standing right behind him going, I mean, they're so weird. Like, why are they being so cute right now? Like, I'm going to throw up. Like, hi, honey, hi. I mean, it's like a weird kink. Like, they literally get off on, like, screaming at each other.
And Venus is like, I'm sorry, but are these bitches, like, back the fuck together? Kim's like, full disclosure, Marcus and I got back together after the party last night. Yeah, if you know what I'm saying.
And he's like, me and Kimberly, yeah, we never had the conversation of like, we're back together, but we just end up back together again. So isn't that the beauty of being in a toxic relationship?
Yeah. Is it the beauty? So now they're doing more photo shoots and everything, and they're doing a light change and stuff. And now Angelica, she's the new Sir hostess. She arrives and he's like, oh, darling, look at you, innocent and sweet, as pure as the driven snow. Come in here to be corrupted and ruined by my television show. Get in here, sweetheart.
I didn't know if you were coming. Of course I'm coming. Of course I am. I'm so glad to be here, Lisa.
I was like, oh no, this girl's so positive. Do you think she's going to cry a lot?
Yes, she'll be destroyed. She'll be ground to a pulp.
Oh, you look what? You look great. I want you to come meet the staff and just sit in for a picture, okay? Guillermo, get the banana peel ready. Okay, come on in.
So she goes in. All the staff is sitting there in their ball gowns and looking right at her. And she comes in. She's like, hi! And then falls right on her face. Like trips over her camera or something.
I had to hire Angelica right on the spot. She's gorgeous. She's lovable. She's flexible. She put her ankle behind her head right in the interview. Oh, God.
She kind of did, because we see a flashback to her interview and she's like,
yeah, I did Taekwondo for about 10 years and I was a national champion. Do you want to see a move? I could probably do this. And she kicks like like a light bulb out of the ceiling or something like that.
Oh, yes. Taekwondo, a skill set that's absolutely unnecessary in waiting and serving. You're hired.
She has charm just oozing out of her pores. Oh, God, that's not the only thing that's going to be oozing out of her after a couple of months at this place. Am I right? Get it?
Now remind me, when you won your national championship in Taekwondo, what was the part where you gathered menus and said, right this way?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So she stands up and Lisa's like, wow, that was a good entrance. She's like, I'm trying to lift my leg as high as I possibly can. But these heels are looking so big.
Okay, maybe not my ideal first impression, but I feel like it really grounded me in a way.
Are you now sure you're okay, Angelica? Did you hurt yourself? Do you need to see HR?
We are so evolved now, we care. Please only take off your panties for this if you feel comfortable.
She goes,
well, I don't think it really requires workers' comp, so I think I'm okay. She's like, oh, good. I don't understand what that is. Workers don't get comps here. You have to pay full fare.
Darling, yes, as I told you in your interview, workers are complimentary. You're here for the Instagram likes.
So she says,
well, maybe this worked in my favor because, like, now people are going to be, like, really nice to me, right? Because, like, who's going to be mean to the girl that just, like, ate shit?
I'm like, literally all of them. They're like, oh, she's weak. We will destroy her.
Somewhere, like, an alarm just went off in Stassi's house. She's like, oh my God, stupid bitch falling in, sir. Dun, 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 dun. Need to drive down there. Do not drive down there.
Yeah, when you hear a bell, it means a new server fell over in front of the team at Sir.
Every time you hear a bell ring, a new waitress just lost her vag. So Angelica's like, oh my God, what a great way to meet people, am I right, guys? And they're like, wow, you look so beautiful. And Josh goes, yeah, what an entrance, I almost wanted to catch her.
At which point, Ronnie leapt through the TV and was like, no, you get out of here, you little bitch. He's mine.
Falling down. I just fell down off my couch. Like, ow!
Help me, Josh. Help me. All right. Oh, okay, sit down right there.
Now, no one will Angelica get jealous of you. We don't like jealous people. So, Angelica, new girl who no one's ever met before and has no history, please take the center spot in this photograph.
I know.
Move over. Everybody. Move over, Kim.
She literally made Kim move over so that the new girl could take the center spot. And I was like, uh-oh.
Look sexy and welcoming. Try it, Kim. Now, Kim, I know that you don't understand the concept of welcoming, but what you do is you sort of smile. Yes, a smile. A smile. Okay, let me start from the beginning. A smile is when you take the edges of your lips and you move them upwards. You can do it, Kim. Try it, Kim. You're almost there. No, she can't smile. She doesn't know how to do it. Put her in the back.
Okay, guys, we've done the photo shoot, and now we're going back to the uniform, okay? I'm Guillermo. Ooh, smolder. Smolder, yes. All right, please, on your way out, as everybody passes me, please say, I pledge allegiance to Nicolaine. Okay, very good. You can go. You can go. You can go.
So Chris and Audrey start to flirt. Chris is like, yeah, you were working. She's like, always working. I mean, you were pulling out all the moves. And then Jason's like, yeah, you were. If I had spoken first, I would have said you pulled out the moves, but he said it first. So I'm just going to say you were.
Like, cousins.
Yeah. Not all the moves, though. Like, y'all pulled on me last night. Remember when you guys gave me strip tease last night, guys? Remember? Huh?
And then we just flash back to her getting the strip tease and be like,
oh my God.
I loved it.
So she's like, yeah, Chris is like really different from the other guys I've dated. I mean, he has like a decade on me, okay? Like, that's 10 years. Because he has 10 years above when I was even born. Like, a decade. So he probably had one of those Blackberries that like you slide open. And he thought it was like the coolest thing ever. And he just like vigorously typed on it like with his thumbs. And he was like, yeah, like checking out girls through his phone.
Okay, I hate to sound like the grandfather that I am, but those were called T-Mobile Sidekicks. How dare you?
Thank you.
And I had one, and thank it was you. Amazing.
He probably had like a crank on his cell phone just to power it, right? So Venus is like,
yeah, like, guys, I'm sorry. Sorry in the middle of this conversation. I need to check my emails. That's right. I get them on my phone. Oh, you guys, it's time to renew my AOL account. Excuse me. I can do that right on my phone. Sorry. What were you saying?
So Venus is like, hey, Marcus, can I talk to you for a second? He's like, yeah, what's on your mind? Well, just about last night, it's just like a recap of what a typical night is. And then today, like making out in the fucking photo, like, so what changed between last night and today? He's like, we made up last night. There wasn't a lot of talking. I mean, lips were moving, if you know what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is I put my penis in her vagina. Are you following any of this? Come on, Venus, keep up.
And Venus is falling into that trap as the gay friend who gets mad when people get back together. And I know that sounds random, but that is a thing. Because it's gay trapped. Guys are always trapped, right? Like, especially when you're friends with both. And I think this is a general trap for people. But I think gay people fall more in this trap because we don't have as many people to date. So when, especially when you're younger and immature, and it's like, okay, well, so we're friends. I'm going to listen to all your bullshit. But now you're back together with him. And now I don't get to spend any time with you. It's...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm sure it's like an everybody thing, but I just recognize that as like being the only gay guy at work. We're like, what the fuck, man? Like, everyone else has people to talk. Like, I'm the one who always has to listen to this shit. But I think it's extremely immature, and it's so weird to be mad at people for getting back together. What do you think?
I think it's great to get mad at people for getting back together if they're toxic. Well, no, but like from where we sit, I think like when you're young, you don't realize that you just have to let people just fall into their own bullshit, you know, and you feel like you can actually change things. And what happens is as a gay, you're often put in the sidekick position where when travesties happen, like a breakup, you know, especially the like it's usually it's the girl because of, you know, just you guys are scared of gay people a lot. But like these days, things are modern. So that's nice to see.
And we usually like with girls, like, you know.
Yeah, but like usually it's like someone comes to us as the gay person is like, oh my God, like you would not even believe he's just so awful. Blah, blah, blah. He's so mean. He doesn't even consider me. And they tell you all these things. And then you want to help your friend and you have a vision for your friend. And that vision is, look, I love you both. you're toxic together. You need to start doing your own separate things and you can just move on. And then we can all be happy. And you start to, you have this plan. It's going to be amazing. And then you invest all this time and hours on the phone and you're hugging and they're crying and you're dealing with it. And like, that's time you could be on Grindr. That's time you could be doing anything else. And instead you're doing this. And then after you put in all that effort and you have a plan, you've got the bullet points, you know what step one, step two, step three, phase one, phase three, they just get back together. And you're like, but what about all that work? What about all that time? And you get so annoyed and you're like, what the fuck? What the fuck? We had a plan. We had a dream. We saw what the future was going to be like.
Yeah. Nice. He's like, I taught you about the secret. Like, I taught you about manifesting. How could you?
Yeah.
But yeah, he's like too far. And the thing isn't, it's her fault for being, it's not their fault. Look, it is their fault for being toxic. But what I'm saying is, in this situation, to me, it's not the problem that they're a toxic relationship and that you spent all this time listening to it. The problem is you spending all the time listening to it. And that's the change that needs to be made. You're not the side. We don't have to be in that position where we're like the sidekick listening to everybody's drama all the time. I think we kind of put ourselves in that position. And it's time to just not be that person, because this is ridiculous. Like, actually fighting with someone because they got back together and they're happy is crazy to me. Like, I think it's coming off as completely crazy.
Well,
now, I wouldn't want to listen to their horse shit either, but I just wouldn't listen to it rather than root for them to break up all the time.
Well, I don't know if they got back together and are happy. They're just saying that they're happy because they're two broken individuals. So Venus is like, yeah, their relationship is like one of the most toxic relationships I've ever seen in my entire life, which is why I like to embed myself entirely into their duo. That's why we're a trio, because I like to be around toxic people. And it's extremely offensive to me that my night at Audrey's birthday, I'm holding Kim crying, comforting her, which is what I've done a million fucking times since they started dating. And then the next day, like nothing fucking happened.
I mean, yeah, but that's an interesting memory of the history, because you were spending that birthday trying to get Marcus to go in a stand up for Natalie, actually, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. You're remembering this in a funny way, but he's very pissed off and he's like, you put me in a position. He's got like the La La lips. I think he's going for like the new La La of this cast.
Yeah.
And it's working because he's even got like the lips and stuff. And so Marcus is like, I didn't put you in any position when you say things in front. And she's like, yes, you did. Yes, you did. I was up till 3 a.m. last night. Okay. I could have been that time concentrating on a parking space for today. But instead, I was working with you and your girlfriend. And he's like, nothing to do with me. He goes, yeah, I was dealing with bullshit because of the drama that you're always in. And then like the next day, you and Kim, like nothing happened. And it's like so convenient for you when everyone else is affected by it.
He's like, well, good. Good for us. It has nothing to do with you. So stop getting involved with shit that ain't got nothing to do with you, which he's right. I mean, ultimately, if you're angry at Kim for going back over and over and over again to a guy who's toxic, you got to look inward and say, why am I going back to this couple that's toxic over and over and over again and getting myself embroiled in their situation? Just let her cry on the curb like everyone else and enjoy a bacon wrapped hot dog.
Exact. Leh. So he's like, yeah, so quit involving everyone by doing it in front of everybody. And he's like, well, I didn't involve you. You were trying to be involved last night and I didn't say a single word to you. And that's true, because he was running around trying to be involved on everybody's side. Like, well, now I need to have a talk with you. And now I need to have a talk with you. And now I need to have a talk with you. So stop doing that. Okay.
Mark, but then at the same time, let's not let the toxic couple off the hook, because
we've seen
two episodes of what you said. They're awful. And you see Natalie being like,
yeah.
She's like, ugh, you know what? This is what he deserves. He deserves to get suspended. It's like, how many times do I have to tell him, right, guys? And she's sitting there talking everyone's ear off. Like, they've heard it a million times from her. Like, no one cares. And she's going around asking for advice, asking for help, crying at the party. This is what he does to me. This is what he always does to me. I'm just like, can you believe he did that to me? And oh my God, he just said he's falling out of love with me. And now, like, he's like not falling out of love with me. Like, Natalie, can you believe it? And he's going around being like, I just can't even deal with her. Like, I'm falling. Like, they pollute the entire party with their bullshit.
That's true.
And then they act surprised that people want to weigh in or have opinions about it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, too. And Kim is not only toxic in that relationship, she's just toxic in general. I mean, she's toxic with everybody. Like, she doesn't know Natalie, so she's going to go poison the new girl against Natalie. And she doesn't like him now, so she's going to do what she does to him. I mean, she's just kind of gross, you know?
I agree.
In general. But I guess this specific thing, I'm just saying, like, stop involving yourself with crazy people and then getting mad that they're crazy, you know?
Absolutely. Lazy Susan. Lazy Susan of Awfulness has
stopped. It's like I'm talking to myself watching this show, right? I'm like, what are you getting so mad about? You're watching this on purpose, you know?
Yeah.
And it is, it is that, because I love the toxicity. Like, I love to, I'm never going to yell at somebody for being toxic. I'll be like, why didn't you call me when you were in a toxic mood?
Well, on the topic of inserting yourself, here comes Natalie while Venus and Marcus are bickering. And Natalie's like, I think I need to step in here because the whole root of the problem is that she said between you and I, and then you walked away last night. And Marcus is like, I'm not going to have the same conversation 100 times. Just, no, but we never even talked about it because our conversations have been like, we're like good friends. Like for me, like you've been like my good friend, and like Kimberly is my good friend, and Demi, like she's my good friend, and Venus is like my good friend. And I would like to leave it at that, but like no one else does.
He's like, not my problem. But also, that's not what they're talking about. So stop trying to make everything about you too, air sucker. And it's like, yeah, but like you need to say to your girlfriend and Demi, like Natalie is my friend. And that's what I need from you. Like everybody needs to know that because like I'm a friend, right? Right, guys? Right? Like I'm a friend. Everybody knows that.
I'm always going to have Kimberly's side, especially when I say I'm falling out of love with her and I can't stand her fucking face and I need to have some space and break up with her. I'm always going to have her fucking side.
Yeah, and you should though, okay? And then Kim's like, okay, now I need to step in too, because I want to clarify things.
This is when I was just cracking up. I was like, see, this show is actually like, this show is good because they are now all latching themselves onto this. Like each one of them, it's gravitational pull. They just all add on to the stupid argument.
Yeah. And she's like, well, I want to clarify because I think things are getting misconstrued because I felt like if there was a boundary crossed for me personally with the way that you were texting him. Okay, Natalie. So that's it. And she's like, are you kidding me? Because like, didn't we have to solve the problems that we were having last night? Because like, I thought we did.
And so we see how last night, like Kim was crying in Natalie's arms and everything. And Natalie was there like consoling her. And Natalie then's like, you know, all that's changed in the last 16 hours is that Kim and Marcus are like back together again. That's the only thing that's changed. I'm like, well, that's a pretty big thing that changed. And Kim says, in that moment, I didn't know who to turn to and she was there. And I think that's what it was for me. Like rather than me missing her as a friend, I was like, oh, so you're a shitty person.
You're just a shitty, shitty
person. You're just a shitty garbage person.
Yeah. She's like, I was just using her. So what's the big deal?
Yeah. I never said that she was off the hook. I just like needed a vessel to pour my tears into, and she was there, but like hate her still.
Oh yeah, okay, so then Marcus and Demi can hang out and go one-on-one go to lunch, and that's okay. And Kim goes, yeah, because they're like a different kind of friend. Take that.
And so then Natalie and Demi see them from like arguing. Natalie and Demi, so Demi sees it, and so now Demi's gonna come over. Natalie's like, I don't know if we I think we should be finishing the photo shoot, like. And Demi's like, no, I've got something to say. So Demi walks over to this fight. Now she's like, you guys, Natalie wants to finish the photo shoot. And I keep hearing my name. It's like her name was said once, but she's like, I keep hearing my name. And I'm like, I'm already bored with this. Okay. So like, who wants to fight with me now?
Yeah. But all I've said is that you're my friend. And she's like, I don't want to hear you say my name today. So just like, don't say it. Even if you're saying it like in a good way, like I do not want to hear it. Like I'm so sick of
hearing it. What's your problem?
No, because sound of your voice, that's my problem. Like after last night, like your voice, ouch.
Why are you being so rude?
I feel like it, because I feel like it. What about that? The assistant manager, Mary Ketchup. I said it because I feel like it. I'm like hungry.
Don't bitch. Don't be a bitch, okay? How about you don't be a bitch?
Finish a photo shoot, so maybe you shouldn't tell me not to be a bitch at work, because like I'm a boss, okay?
I can't apologize anymore. Really? You're bitchy really? All the time, no, Demi.
Maybe you should stop though. Maybe you should.
Okay, you know what? I was bitchy for one night. Sorry.
Hold on. Now, wait a second. I know what you're doing right now, but stop it. We've got a photo shoot. Please stop creating drama on this highly rated dramatic television show. Please go ahead. Do it without your shirts on, if you're comfortable.
Do you need to take a break, Natalie? Maybe speak to HR. Hooligans and rascals.
Well, I'm trying to be professional. She's not making it easy, Lisa, because like she needs to leave me alone because like I'm literally shaking right now.
Darling, Ken has been literally shaking for 25 years. He still manages to carry the dog across the restaurant on cue. So please get back to work.
She needs to like leave me alone, Lisa, for at least like one day. Just like leave me alone.
Oh, I'll talk to you tomorrow about it. Today, the harassment continues. Tomorrow, we'll deal with it.
I'm so tired of being treated like shit by my friends.
This is Natalie complaining in the background. She's just going off about, she got herself angry about a fight that she wasn't even in.
Yeah. So now we go to a rock climbing place and Shane goes up to the front desk and is like, hey, can I rip some shoes off? You got them. Shane Davis. Shane Davis, you might have my name written down somewhere. You will soon. Hey, can I just tell you, I've got beautiful eyes. We forgot. He didn't notice that he said that last week. When he was flirting with the girl, I guess Natalie's like, hey, just have to tell you, I've got beautiful eyes.
So Natalie shows up and she's like, oh my God, Shane Davis, are you trying to kill me? This is crazy. Rock climbing.
And he's doing it without the ropes. He's like, yeah, just rock climbing without the ropes. Yeah, I'm Shane Davis. That's pretty much how I roll. Danger. I'm no stranger to danger. Okay.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm like pretty used to like rock climbing. I met Natalie a month ago and like the fieriness to her, it's like very intriguing to me.
So she's like, sorry we got off on the wrong foot when I told you that I didn't like you coming to my workplace with another girl and you did it anyway. She goes, but at the same time, like, I feel a connection. It's like undeniable. Like, we're both cute. We're both single. We're both like a little bit fucked up. I mean, geez, I guess we're going to rock climb. That's
awesome. Yeah, man. Like, we're both fucked up. Let's climb some rocks, man.
So that he gets like in the harness and everything, and he's like, hey, you got my phone? I'm gonna take some sweet photos when I get to the top of this wall.
And she's not into rock climbing at all, obviously. And he's like,
well, I think rock climbing is like the perfect date for me, Natalie, because she's like getting a sneak peek in my lifestyle. Because when I'm not modeling, I'm a personal trainer. So I'm like very active, like I climb things, and that's just it. Like, you want to join my life of climbing stuff? Great. If not, sayonara, sucker. Shane Davis.
Look at this very intense look into the inner workings, the inner life of Shane Davis as he climbs a rock. Natalie.
I like guys who are like, not only am I gorgeous, I work out a lot. Get used to it.
And Natalie's like, she does not want to do this, but she's like, come on, Shane, just help me help you get me naked somewhere. Do we have to do this? So they start climbing and she's like, my nails are too long for this. I just realized. And the employee's like, yeah, you shouldn't have come here today.
You're killing it, man. You know, my friends would probably describe me as a player with a heart of gold. And I'm honest and I'm caring and like I'm compassionate. But if I feel nurtured and cared for and I feel safe, that's like crack to me, man.
Yeah, crack. Safety. Safety is crack, guys. Emotional safety. Yeah, I'm an evolved guy. But I also work out a lot. And I'm a model. Shane Davis.
And so then Natalie, he takes a picture of her and she goes up and then she's like, oh my God, coming down was scary. He's like, yeah, I want to do this black one. Okay, I'm going to do it. Okay, take a picture of me when I get to the top, man. Okay, take a photo of me in my most vulnerable state at the top of this rock wall.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to use your phone because I don't know where my phone is. He's like, okay, don't go snooping around though. She goes, yeah, is it like screenshots of my Instagram?
Maybe.
So, she's like, I do like Shane a lot, and I feel like this really could go somewhere, like literally to the top of a wall. And he literally is like the epitome of my physical type. But I also don't want to make the same mistake that I made before of just like jumping into a relationship when I've only been single for a few months. Like, I'm a crazy bitch. That's me.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So they rock climb and stuff. And he's like, yeah, you know, that you got to get one. Yeah, I'm posing for the camera.
He like goes, makes it flexes.
Yeah,
he flexes his arm at the top of the wall.
She's like, wow, that's so vulnerable. He goes, yeah, that's vulnerable.
Yeah. They literally say that. Today. He flexes his arm at the top of a rock wall. She goes, that was so vulnerable of you. That was so vulnerable.
He's like, you want to hit one? You want to hit one more? You want to like chill for a bit? Like, let's take a little breather. Let's get deep together. Okay, I don't know if I've told you this, but like deep in my heart, I'm a person who works out. Hope that's okay for you.
Yeah.
It's like a deal breaker for me.
Well, guess what? Now that you're back down on the floor, here's your phone back. And that was like really special. I gave you your phone back because I had back surgery once. He's like, oh yeah, I saw it. What? I mean, no, tell me about it. He literally says, I saw it. I saw your back surgery.
I guess he did mean he went through her Instagram.
She's like, yeah, yeah. I loved your back surgery stories. Those were like so real.
And she tells us that she had scoliosis as a kid, so she had to wear a back brace. I mean, hi, nice to meet you. I'm Natalie. My spine was like this. Not the cutest look. Okay. But, you know, and he goes, well, you probably developed a lot of perseverance from that shit.
She's like, yeah, especially because they, like, make you stand up and walk the very next day. So my spine is, like, still not straight. Like, they can, he's like, wait, can I see it? And so she's like, yeah, look, they can only do so much. Like, look at this. Look at my spine. It like protrudes. He's like, wow, man, that's awesome.
She's like, yeah, I look like dainty, but I have like 24 screws in my back. And like, it's like not my favorite thing about myself, but it is what it is. I'm just like used to it. And if I'm ever cremated, someone needs to warn them because they're going to take me out. It's going to be like a lot of hardware. But there's like 24 people that can have a piece of me when I'm no longer here. And I think that's like actually very beautiful.
Guys, there's gonna be like 24 people in this world who'll be able to like use my screws, and that's just like a beautiful thing to be able to get back that way.
I just love the idea of different family members walking around like, every time I look at the screw, I think of Natalie. I miss you girl.
So then Shane is gonna now one up her. He's like, yeah, I broke my back too, man. Like when I was like 19 years old, I got shot 3 times and one of the bullets blew out the left lung and it just like popped out right here, right where my beautiful pec is. Yeah, check that out. You want to know why? You know why I did that? Because, you know, my best friend, he shot me because I got this modeling contract. You know, the classic, get a modeling contract, get shot 3 times because of it. You know how it goes. Oldest story in the book.
Wait, so this story, so I get a modeling contract, I tell my buddies I'm about to move, and my best friend hits me up and he's like, I need your help. So my best friend and me got into a fight with a group of guys. So it's like, so your best friend didn't shoot you? Or did he shoot you? Was he trying to shoot the other guys and he shot Shane instead?
Yes, I think so, because he says he got stabbed and I tried to tackle the guy and stab him, and then the same time, like, he just went like this. He was like, beep, 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 beep. And I got shot, which is why I put some band-aid tattoos on my body.
Jeez.
He's like, I was paralyzed, but I learned how to walk in 3 months. That's right. And I walked back into that modeling agency and I said, hey, motherfuckers, you still want to take me? And they were like, God, you're gorgeous. Do you work out? And I was like, yeah, I do. And they're like, we're compatible. And that was my most vulnerable moment with casting directors. I fucked them all. I fucked all of the casting directors. And I shot them all over the face.
His story is, yeah, man, I got shot. I was paralyzed. I rehabbed myself back. And I was still hot. Still got it, man.
I'm still fucking hot. Calvin Klein flew me out to Milan. I didn't even know how to pronounce it. I called it Mulan. God, I wanted like, to be in that movie so bad.
You know, the other guys can be like, live action Mulan. If you guys want to do a sequel for it, I could probably be someone in it. I mean, that goes tangled, but I'll take any role.
Yeah, and so I got band-aid tattoos all over the entry and exit wounds just because I don't want to take my life super serious. It did hurt getting one over my butthole, but technically that is an exit wound, so I let him do it.
I don't want to look at life like I'm a victim.
I mean, you were shot 3 times. You were literally a victim.
You were literally a victim, so it's okay if you do that.
We'll allow you to have that one. It's okay. You don't have to be that defensive about it. He's like, I don't want to look at life like I'm a victim, although I will use it to get a girl in bed.
He's like, yeah, sometimes using the gunshot wounds as a lure. Like, I know she can't help on a primal level, but like, she's a little turned on. Yeah, I've been shot 3 times. Works every fucking time.
What? It's actually a very scary story, but it's also such a stupid story. It's like your friend. Like, what are you? First of all, are you in like West Side Story? You like signed a modeling contract and your friend's like, wait a second. I've got to help me out. I'm going to get into a fight. So he goes to like a knife fight. But then there's guns. Like, what are you doing? And if you're in the middle you just signed a modeling contract. Why are you going to go like step into a street fight somewhere? It just was so wild.
It's
and
just
crazy.
All these models like meeting up and getting into group fights like, with guns and knives. Like, do models do that? I would think that if you're all because I'm imagining that they're fighting other models, right?
100%. Probably, it's a model street fight.
And they're like, yeah, we got a gun. I got a gun. I'm a model with the gun. And then they started fighting over like Calvin Klein contracts. And then it turns into a, well, it's just a crazy story. What the hell? You would think if you were models, you'd be fighting with like foam swords. You know what I mean? Because you don't want to hurt your faces.
It's like the battle of like Wilhelmina versus Ford. It's like, I just love the idea of this. Like, I mean, I'm sure it was like not a model fight, but I'm like with you. All I do is I just imagine a bunch of models like having some sort of like catwalk moment. And that's like their fight.
Yeah, it's crazy. So then we go to Sir and there's Peter. He's helping Chris model. He's like, this is how you model, son. Okay, can you explain to me what green gazpacho is? Because like, I don't get it. And Natalie's like, haven't you ever heard of fried green tomatoes? And he goes, yeah. I mean, have you seen the movie Fried Green Tomatoes? And she's like, no. He's like, yeah. Well, the boyfriend gets run over by a train. So spoiler alert. Anyways.
And then Marcus is checking with Kim about some asparagus. Actually, it's at their apartment. They're checking about asparagus. And he's like, I got to be honest. When we're not fighting, it's like perfect. You know what I mean? It's like, we're so loving. There's like no red flags. Like, I love you. I'm like, that's a big qualification. When we're not fighting, there's no red flags. I'm like, but when you are fighting, that's, isn't that the red flag? Like, I don't think you can just cut out the fighting and be like everything. Like, you know, our relationship is great, except for the fact when we're fighting and we are breaking up all the time. But when we're not, like, it's really a wonderful relationship. I'm like, but you can't, that's too important. You can't do that.
Yeah. So is this what he was telling Natalie?
That's what he was telling Natalie at home.
Yeah,
while,
okay,
literally like
yeah.
cross-cutting between them at home and then at Sir and everything. And then Venus is serving a table after he has given the down low about fried green tomatoes, which fried green tomatoes must feel like, you know, a Buster Keaton movie to these kids. Like, what?
No kidding. But also I'm surprised Natalie hasn't watched it because she's a total Tawanda. Wasn't that her name?
Tawanda!
When Kathy Bates, like, finally gets mad and, like, crashes into the sexy girl's car who bullied her in the parking lot. And she's like, I'm Tawanda! Ah! And goes crazy. And she's like, I'm going to sue you. And she goes, oh, honey, you may be young, but I'm old and I've got insurance.
It's a classic moment. Yeah. What a good movie. So Venus is like, he's serving a table, but he checks his phone and there's a text from Marcus. So then he texts Marcus back and Venus is like, hey, Natalie, when you have 2 seconds, will you come with me? So I can show you some dumb shit. She's like, oh, absolutely. Serge, don't do that. I didn't do the ticket. Do it. Okay. So they go to the back and he's like, I want to show you this text message from Marcus. Okay, bitch, look at this. Look what he wrote. Okay. So Marcus wrote a text message that said, hey, dude, I've just seen a side of you that I really want nothing to do with, and I can't respect it, and I don't want to be fake and act like we're cool, so no need to pretend like we are. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I just, like, sat there for, like, 2 seconds to type this response. I was like, Marcus, you literally look like a dumbass, and so does Kim, and I'm behaving out of retaliation towards your stupidity and the fact that you and Kim don't give a fuck about anyone but yourselves, and I don't want to hear about your clown-ass relationship from you or Kim. Y'all just look stupid as fuck. There, I said it.
I personally feel so betrayed because I have held Kim when she cried a million times. And then we see a flashback of like him doing that.
Yeah. Kim being like, Marcus is like so typical Marcus. Like, you need to be active about this because this behavior will age you, girl. So he's like, yeah, I've been there a million times. And then we see a flashback to him being there for Marcus. And Marcus is like, I'm going home after what I've done and I'm going to get reamed by Kimberly for defending Natalie. He's like, okay, I get it. I know, bro. So back in the present, he's like, yeah. And so for the first time, I'm like fed up and I'm like, fuck this shit. I'm like fucking done. And like, you pushed me to my fucking limit. And then you're going to make me out to be the bad guy. You haven't even seen me piss yet. Oh, you haven't even seen it.
And Natalie is like, this is crazy because you're just giving your honest opinion. So now we go back over to the Kim and Marcus at their apartment looking at, you know, asparagus. And Kim is like,
this tiny little apartment kitchen. And Kim is holding like a knife as big as the kitchen, just waving it out.
I know. And they're like strangely like they're they're a living room that just has like a white, like decrepit sofa in it and nothing on the walls. And she's like, the thing that he said in those texts are unforgivable. He's obviously harbored these feelings and just now feels like it's an opportunity to say it because like you just don't feel those things overnight. Like he's been feeling them for a long time. He's like, yeah. And like he's coming out of a relationship. He said you and Kimberly are a joke. Can you even believe that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, and I can't believe he was like talking about you like that, like calling you a joke. I mean, what the hell? She's like, yeah, it's so hurtful. And so he says that he takes accountability that he texted Venus first. But when he sent me back, like what he sent me back, like now that's starting a problem. No, you texted him. You're not friends anymore. So you started it, sir.
But this guy has like. This guy has had to receive all your like all your drama, and he's tried to support you both and tried to help you both. And now, like the moment you guys get together, you're just like, oh, actually, I don't think we're friends anymore because I didn't like that you were frustrated by us. So bye, you're not our friends. And so he writes back, obviously a very catty text, which wasn't great. But like, Marcus, you started this. Marcus literally started this. You can't be like, I admit I did write the first text. But his text was worse, so he really started it. No.
But you know what? It's really hard for me to be on Venus's side because I really don't like Venus going up to women and being like, bitch, bitch, and like acting like he's going to beat up a woman and calling her bitch. Like, listen, I mean, there is like gay slang like bitch, and Lord knows on this show where, you know, we say bitch. It's not like you can never say the word bitch, but like going after women and calling them bitches and acting like you're going to get in a fight is just a horrible look. And he does it all the time and it's gross. Yeah. And so I can't be on his side because he just seems like gross to me. So I won't be on his side for right now. So I'm not going to be on Kim's side or Marcus's side either, but it puts me in a conundrum. But then again, this is Vanderpump Rules. And so I'm just going to not be on anybody's side. But for right now, Venus is grossing me out the most in this situation.
Hey, everyone. This is the end of part one of this recap. For part two, keep an eye on your podcast feed. It is coming up in just a moment. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you on the second half.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess, it's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
Make way for AJ Lopez.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manoff.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
Gee, it's Lisa H.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
You'll always get the full story with Tori.
Parsons.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.